podcast is proudly brought to you by Solar Heart Sydney. Book your obligation-free in-home appointment with the most trusted name in solar. Visit solarheartsydney.com.au.
This is a Hope 103.2 podcast.
And the Oscar goes to...
Can't move, I can't say.
Please be kind, especially when we don't know what's going on.
So what do we got?
Movies are dreams that you never forget.
Hey everybody, welcome back to The Watch List. We're going to get wild today with Ben McKechnie as we go in and we're talking about The Wild Robot.
G'day Russ, straight out of the gates. Do you think The Wild Robot is the best animated movie of the year?
You know, I'm going to go out on a limb here, Ben. Are you ready for this?
I am.
I'm going to say that it's the best animated film of the year, but also it's one of the best movies of the year. So I think it's just a great film.
Oh, Russ.
Yeah, I know. It's a great film as well as being one of the best animated films. And this is going up against, say, Inside Out and Despicable Me 4 or whatever, or 25. And really that this is just a great film for everybody. What do you think? I mean, do you think that's true or not?
I agree. And I went with my 7-year-old daughter and she gave me permission to let everybody know that she cried in this. She and I had a fantastic time with this incredible story about a robot crash landing to Earth in this island that's populated by animals. No people are around. But, you know, it's a movie, so the animals and the robot are able to communicate with each other. And as the story unfolds in lots of different ways, Russ, there are so many themes and ideas. It'll be great to unpack these with you. But from the visuals to the characters to the dialogue to the unfurling of the story, we both just found it really engaging, funny, and moving, as my 7-year-old's tears would suggest. And I was welling up at a few points as well.
I was going to ask, did you cry too? Because I was kind of curious.
I appreciate you prying into my life, Russ, and I can let you know that, yeah, I did. I was really struck by, it's one of those great stories that uses things that aren't human to reflect back to us human things. And you get that, what's the fancy word? Anthropomorphous.
Wow.
Where you have things that aren't human, that's right, displaying this to us. And so this robot and learning to become a mum, effectively, of a gosling, and then this ragtag bunch of animals that are around, what that reveals to us about everything from belonging and finding a home to are we hardwired to be a certain way and can we overcome that programming to things of sacrifice and forgiveness. Like it's all in this great movie that, again, visually is sumptuous. And I thought movies like Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, the latest one, and the Spider-Man multiverse films, the different forms of animation going on in those, I've really been struck by those. And I think Wild Robot does a very similar thing, like a really great amalgamation of a lot of different animation styles come across as a beautiful cinematic experience.
I agree with you completely. And I guess the two things that really stood out to me was there's a great voice cast as far as just all, you know, you got Mark Hamill, you got Pedro Pascal, but that really doesn't matter. You really don't care who's behind the characters because this story is so strong. I mean, the story comes out of the gate and you just want to know what's going on. It's such the duck out of water, I guess I say goose out of water kind of experience in this. There we go. In that, and just looking at Roz, this robot, as she kind of tries to make her way as a service robot, looking at how she's able to go through and serve these beings that she doesn't even realize what they are, much less the fact that they're not human. And so how she relates to them and connects to them and how they're able to, with a machine, really give us heart from that film. I mean, that's what I just loved about it, is the fact that they just really went after a heartfelt message, like you said, with non-humans, really, because really humans don't even make a showing till almost 2/3 of the way through the film, and they don't even really make much of a impact whatsoever. And
as my daughter said, Russ, the humans don't even talk, Russ. The humans, I don't think this is too much of a spoiler alert. There's no human dialogue. It's all from other entities, be they animals or robots.
Right. And but here's the other thing that I almost kind of was waiting for at the beginning, that there was not going to be any dialogue that we would hear, that I almost thought, because this was
me too
visually stunning. I mean, it is amazing. I mean, what they've done, they're bringing in not only the CGI, but this hand-drawn effect, and also even the animated, the anime kind of effect of the drawings and this beautiful backdrop that I thought this is almost kind of be one of those Fantasia type of experiences for a little bit, but then they break in with some great dialogue and great storyline. So it's got this beautiful visual background, but then on top of it, it's something that I really think that's one of the things that really kind of I loved about this film was that unlike many of the other animated films that are out there, which they're not bad, it's just that this one really kind of hit every audience member. There were little kids in the audience and nobody walks out. Nobody's crying. Nobody's distracted because people were loving this film.
Yeah, it really brings you in, Russ. And you're also hinting at some of the visual style is akin to Studio Ghibli films like Spirited Away, for example, and Ponyo. And it felt often like a storybook brought to life. And as plenty of people would know, this is based on a best-selling kids book.
Heard of it.
And the director of this, Chris Sanders, under the DreamWorks umbrella, so everything from, what's that, Shrek through to... Actually, I don't remember that many DreamWorks franchises. They're not as big as Pixar. But the other thing...
You mean like Kung Fu Panda?
Oh, I can't believe I forgot Kung Fu Panda. That's one of my favorite animated movies ever. Man, I'm a chump. I love Kung Fu Panda. That's a 5-star film. Also, How to Train Your Dragon is one of the memorable ones out of DreamWorks. And Chris Sanders directed that. And also Chris Sanders directed Lilo and Stitch. And there's a through line going here, Russ, of you get creatures or characters coming from far away to a situation, and there's usually some journey of understanding, also built around fear initially, and what this new creature or character will bring. And it really highlights the fear of the unknown that humans can often have. But then in this event, because it's a very similar storyline effectively to How to Train Your Dragon in some ways, but in this event of The Wild Robot, I really liked how... there were some great ideas from the animal world that were teased out, including the sort of dog eat dog, or at least the sort of fox eats gosling reality of nature was brought in. There's some like hard lessons for kids to learn in the first half hour of this film about how brutal the wilds can actually be. But at the same time, revealing all this stuff to us as humans, including how we can fear the foreigner, the unknown, and also somebody coming into an environment where they're basically a clean slate and they're a clean slate of kindness, and how the things around them can actually start eroding that, or being cynical or not understanding or finding it very hard to understand why there would be anybody that would be just looking to do things for others and not look to get something else out of it.
Oh, I mean, I found what I loved about this too was that I love your references, because actually it reminded me of like the Iron Giant and Bambi.
Oh,
there
yeah.
Were things, there were elements of it as far as kind of looking at. So you're looking at also where they're able to touch into also this kind of love, this mother's relationship with this gosling, which seems so strange, but it really does work. But then on top of it, the grief that occurs very subtly. See, that's the thing I loved about it, how they did this so that it was really for the child to be able to kind of embrace the fact that looking at the whole issue of grief and also even death, how you're even open to that conversation. But here's one that I thought was fascinating. I even kind of saw a whole Noah's Ark theme during that one scene where all of a sudden they kind of all are kind of brought together at one point, and she's the one that really brings them all together. So
I thought the same thing as well, Russ. I'm right there with you. All the animals brought together in the one spot.
Yeah.
I was with you on the ark.
Yeah, it was so great. I mean, they didn't come two by two necessarily, but it was definitely there. But I really loved what this film was able to do is kind of open up the door to really an atmosphere where both adults and children could enjoy this. It was not over the top. It wasn't also, there was no, I was waiting for the kind of ham-fisted message that kind of a societal kind of discussion point that never came. I really found that it was just a great story with a great background and then also some great messaging when it comes to sacrifice, motherhood, and also even grief and adoption even. So I just love this film in so many ways. I'm looking forward to seeing what what other people kind of think about it. But I really love to know too, that for your daughter, was it something that when you walked out, was it something that she really enjoyed kind of talking with you about some of the themes?
Yeah, a little bit. Although she was still, I think, trying to process it and try to work out even what had moved her about the movie. So she spoke quite a bit about the robot and the fox. She thought the fox character, Fink, voiced by Pedro Pascal, she thought was just tremendous, like such like funny. So my daughter was really struck by that. Whereas I was left thinking about things like, this is an example, Russ, where a movie, even as it's predictable, because a lot of the storyline is, and yet you still don't really care because you want to know how it's going to get to where it's going to get to and what it's going to do.
Exactly.
And I was also left thinking about some of the things that you mentioned there, also about forgiveness and relationship, community. But also in this age and rise of AI, Russ, the fact that a movie could make me care so much about a robot, like you can really connect on an emotional level with what you can clearly see is a created computer entity. As we wrestle with AI and where it's going to go and what that's going to mean for humanity and what that's going to mean for us created in the image of God and these things created in our image, I found it actually slightly challenging and wondering, is this some sort of like propaganda for embracing robots and AI? Because if it is, job done, because it makes you think, oh, these AI robots could really be my mates and could really be here to help us, which I know plenty are. But it was an interesting thing that I was walking out thinking of, whereas my daughter was thinking about how funny the fox was.
Exactly. Well, see, that's where it hits on different levels, because this is why I think it throws back straight to the Iron Giant in so many ways, even though I felt that the Roz character was so much more inviting and one that you really fell in love with. And I agree with you. I don't know if I'd bring in all the conspiracy that this is a whole plant, but I think that it definitely was one where you fell in love with this character. But then on top of it, you really wanted to see her succeed, especially actually Bright Bill, her Gosling son, if you want, that he would actually succeed, even though he was a bit odd and quirky, if you think about it, being raised by a robot. And I just love how they really tapped into that too. So there's all of these elements that I think that really makes this very accessible for all families and all family members. And I'll go back to it. I still think that this is the best animated film. And I think that it is also, it will go strongly on the top of my watch list, but not only just as a great animated film, but just as a great film.
Yeah, I was about to ask you about the watch list, but then realized that's just redundant, Russ, because clearly it's on your watch list and it's on mine as well. I thought, oh, this is going to be great. Like you, I expected less talking. I thought it was going to be more like Wall-E, but I wasn't disappointed when they did start talking, because what the things that are being discussed in this film, like I'm amazed that they got so many ideas, concepts in it. It's so rich and robust and so entertaining. And like you mentioned, it's for all ages well. I think kids like 3 or 4 could go to see this and be engrossed in it just in the same way as 70, 80, 90-year-olds could be.
Exactly. And I think this one will wear well throughout history just because of the amazing animation that goes along with it too. So yeah, man, this is great. I love this conversation. I love the fact that we're both on board with this, and I hope that people get out to support films like this, because this is a great film. So thanks so much for getting wild with me and heading out into the wilderness as we kind of consider the watch list. And again, Ben McKechnie, it's always great to have you here. And so we hope that you subscribe to the watch list wherever you can find your podcasts, and especially at Hope Media. Make sure you check out everything at Hope 103.2. Also, make sure you watch our YouTube channel. We'd love for you to be able to kind of send your comments, see what you think about this whole thing. But here at Hope 103.2 and also at Real Dialogue, we always want to say thank you so much for being a part of the watch list. We look forward to seeing you soon and also seeing you out at the films. Watch.